Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we look ahead to the events going on around the world in the upcoming week. Now, this is our first show of 2024, and the reason we've taken so long is because, as with many journalists in this day and age, we were cancelled, accused of corruption, took asylum in an embassy, got caught, faced trial. Oh, that's not us. I think I'm thinking of several other journalists, but it could well have been us.
I think it is a bit like us, but at least it's not Gonzalo Lira who was tortured and killed by, what, British and American weapons? We don't know. No comment, State Department not bothering. And, of course, we know Tucker Carlson is going to be here in Dubai on Monday, start of this week, kicking off the week. He's called a traitor for what he did, daring to interview the enemy.
Yes, well, we've been very lucky. It's a dangerous time for journalists around the world, and as we know. But a lot has happened since we've been away. So let's start straight away with this week, Monday, the 12th of February, 2024. So, time to begin. Afshin, as you just mentioned there, Tucker Carlson. Now, the context around what Tucker Carlson is meant to be doing on Monday is the World Government Summit, which is an annual event hosted in Dubai. And now, I don't think many people will have heard of it, Afshin. I'm sure it won't be a headline news in the mainstream media, but it's been held since 2013, and many topics are discussed, from futurism to tech to business. And a lot of people are due to speak on Monday, actually, including the Iraqi Prime Minister, IMF Managing Director, the World Bank President, the World Health Organization, and including, as you say, former Fox News presenter Tucker Carlson.
Who's and the Cuban Prime Minister. Him and the IMF will get on really well. Are you going out for drinks with them all later? Near your apartment, I think.
Will I be seeing you there?
I haven't been invited. I think it's because the IMF person's there.
Yeah, well, despite all these people, there are some notable absences. And considering this is a world government summit, certainly Biden won't be bothering to show up. Rishi Sunak in the UK, Olaf Scholz in Germany, despite the fact 25 other world leaders are due to be going. In fact, Scholz, France's Macron, and Poland's Donald Tusk are actually due to be having their own little meeting on Monday. But why don't you think these other leaders will be bothering to attend what's clearly quite an important summit?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? The numbers of people. There are people there on AI. There are people there on technology.
Sam Altman of OpenAI will be there.
Yeah, very controversial figure. Elon Musk isn't. Is he going to be here? I don't think he is, but he was here in the previous, some kind of previous conference. They're obviously not Tusk, Macron, Scholz. They're there to meetings in Europe, which clearly ahead of the NATO defense ministers meeting, is it? Presumably. Right. Or the Munich Security Conference. They're probably talking about more weapons to Israel to fulfill the Gaza genocide, the plausible genocide, as the world court calls it, and, of course, to ramp up this war on Russia through Ukraine. It's all about war, whereas here in Dubai, it's all about
peace,
progress and peace, and kind of mismatch there.
Absolutely. And we'll move on to Israel and Gaza later on in the week and the other wars. But meanwhile, in the US on Monday, that's the deadline for Donald Trump to appeal to the US Supreme Court over claiming immunity from charges relating to his alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 US election results. Now, this is also while he awaits judgment on whether he'll be allowed to run on the ballot in the November election. It's quite interesting though, in court, I don't know if you saw what happened last week, Afshin, the court arguments that were heard last week, and many were quite surprised that even the liberal justices seemed to be skeptical of states, including Colorado, trying to take him off the ballot. It's Justice Eleanor Kagan who asked why a single state should decide who gets to be president of the United States. Yeah. It seems at this stage as though the Supreme Court may be in his favor. But what's your take on all of this, Afshin, and how it links in with democracy?
As you just said, I mean, who knew liberals even caring about democracy? This Japanese newspaper, the Financial Times, I don't know why it's not in Japanese, pro Hillary Clinton, the World Bank, all of that kind of thing. Headline, Trump opens 11-point poll lead over Biden on stewardship of U.S. economy. That's Monday's newspaper. So even all those who oppose democracy, arguably, like journalists on the Financial Times, realize that the game is up. But of course, there'll be so many proceedings continuing. And now on the Sunday talk shows in the United States, everyone talking about how Biden, well, his Pentagon boss was rushed into hospital on Sunday night. That's and right. Biden himself, after this Justice Department case, saying that he has to defend himself. His only defense nowadays is to say that he's senile, apparently. And so what's he going to say to the King of Jordan in Washington on Monday? He's senile. That's his excuse for funding genocide.
Yeah.
Really bizarre.
Push the nuclear button. Oh, well, you know, I've got problems with my memory, so, you know.
Yeah, but that's two people who can't. So the Pentagon boss, Lloyd Austin, the Raytheon contractor, he can't because he previously, of course, forgot to mention he was in hospital and unconscious. Does he have a button? I think he has a button. Biden has a button. We all know who has the buttons. It's Antony Blinken, Newland, Sullivan. How old is it? Are you older than Jake Sullivan? I don't know. National Security Advisor, wandering around, clearly, completely out of his depth.
You're absolutely right. It seems like there's a bit of a falling apart in the US government, and they don't all seem to be quite sound at the moment.
Quite there. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a week because of all of that, I think. I think, we aside of these horrible stories, the Taylor Swift conference in Australia would be a better place to go. That's why the press is starting to emphasize the importance of Taylor Swift to take everyone's minds off it in NATO nations, especially given the inflation figures, all the important indexes, what Britain going into recession, clearly because of its support for genocide and Ukraine.
I assume that's where you'll be heading then, to Taylor Swift.
It's in Australia. A bit far.
Quite random. Anyway, Tuesday, where the British-based International Institute for Strategic Studies is actually publishing its annual assessment of the military capabilities and defense economics of 171 countries around the world. Now, this is just days after it was announced that U.S. weapons to foreign governments hit a record high in 2023 of $238 billion. And this also comes out while CIA Director Bill Burns is set to meet intelligence chiefs from Israel, Egypt, and the Qatari Prime Minister in Cairo. And they're said to be discussing the prospects of a new ceasefire in Gaza. And I understand they're very focused on getting the remaining Israeli hostages. Now, this is coming, though, just days after reported Israeli strikes on the city of Rafah in Gaza, as you'll know, which borders Egypt. This happened over the weekend, where we know many Palestinian refugees are estimated about 1.3, 1.5 million are there. And even UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron warned Israel against bombing Rafah, as did US President Biden.
What do you mean? They didn't warn them, really, did they? Because they supplied the weapons nonstop to them. What's he doing talking to the Mossad person? And you mentioned the IISS. That's just an MI6 CIA cutout. I remember meeting analysts from the Institute for whatever it's called. They used to always drink in this famous literary bar in Soho and thought they knew about the military balance. I think they just get their orders from all these cutouts. No doubt they'll say China is going to invade Europe and Iran is dangerous, all the usual kind of stuff. And what on earth, after Sunday night's bombing of tented communities in Rafah at the border crossing, threatening to throw out 1 million people to Egypt in some sort of Lebensraum redolent of Hitler. How is the Egyptian security guy going to be chatting along with the head of Mossad, David Barnea? Is that his real name? I'm surprised we know who the head of Mossad is. Don't know whether you met him.
I haven't, though. But I suppose the problem here is, though, although while yes, the US has been supplying weapons to Israel, as has the UK, they, at least in fairness to him, would be aware of the humanitarian catastrophe that would happen on Rafah. And Biden said,
wait, Millie, if you were killing some children and I kept on giving you more guns to kill the children and kept on saying to you, you really shouldn't kill children, that's just not.
But I suppose, in
no
fairness,
excuse. I think that's why.
This was a recent thing that Benjamin Netanyahu said he was going to do, right, within the last few days. So, you know, obviously they could do more, but they were they were trying as much as they could, they would say. But it just seems
they'll have to say it in the World Court, won't they? I mean, next week is the World Court resumes the genocide trial. I mean, Israel is already on trial for genocide. And now, and I understand it, Nicaragua is bringing another case, and the co-conspirator case will be following up. So David Cameron, the British Foreign Secretary, will have to have his day in court, I suppose.
That's right. And I'll also say on Tuesday, we mentioned Biden and his age and his how his mind is working at the moment. Also on Tuesday, the world's oldest head of state is turning 91. Afshin, do you know who that is?
Oh, gosh, I did know that, you know. I did know that before. Now I can't remember.
So I'll tell you, it's President Paul Biya of Cameroon in Central Africa. And he's the longest consecutively serving non-royal leader and has been in power since 1982, though his time is set to be up next year in 2025. But he's 10 years older than Biden.
But having said that, apart from the football, Cameroon is just a puppet state of Washington. It's one of those puppet states, not like Mali, Senegal, Burkina Faso, the new revolutionary ones that will be raising a storm in Addis Ababa this week at the African Union summit. Cameroon, for all I know, there is the US base there ready to do.
Oh, so you're saying it's a good job he's old because he can't really do anything anyway and the US is just in charge.
I think it helps the United States if they're very old, aren't they, in their proxy countries? Or if they are drug bag carriers for the CIA, like the current leader of Nigeria, one of the big oil superpowers of Africa. Is that true? All right, that's seriously true. Look it up. Nigeria, what a situation. Another problem for the African Union leaders this week.
Let's move on to Wednesday then. Now, Wednesday's...
I noticed you missed Lavrov's speech at the Valdai summit in Moscow, just as no doubt mainstream so-called media in NATO countries will. Sorry, go on, Wednesday. Valentine's Day.
14th of February, of course, Valentine's Day.
Celebrating the murder of a man who allowed people to get married against the wishes of the Roman Empire and therefore was killed.
Historically Christian celebration, isn't it? Though.
But he was saying to the emperor, I'm going to secretly... He wasn't. He was hiding that he was conducting marriages in secret when the emperor wanted people to go to war and didn't want to be people to... Is that right?
So long ago, I don't even know how accurate the historical records would be on how this really came about.
Okay, well, for millions of poor people, poor men, I should say, hundreds of millions of poor men, Valentine's Day this year, given the appalling recessionary impact of the war on Russia through Ukraine, many hundreds of millions of men in these NATO countries will be in desperate straits as their women bully them into buying cut flowers, probably from hothouses in the developing world, which is destroying the soil in those regions.
Have you ever given anyone anything for Valentine's Day? Have you ever had a Valentine?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we all have to compromise.
With one of these men?
We all have to compromise. I think Valentine's Day to me is the world woke up to the previous days. 33 years ago, the U.S. bombing of the Amaria shelter in Baghdad. And there was a case brought against the then head of the CIA, Charles Allen, Dick Cheney, Bush Sr., Colin Powell, Schwarzkopf, for mass murder of women and children. No Valentine's Day cards for them in Iraq when the United States committed that atrocity. No international norms, no rule-based order. It's unfathomable for how long this kind of genocidal activity is being conducted by Washington. And I noticed, did you notice, Lloyd Austin, the Raytheon Pentagon boss, is due.
He is due, yes.
Explain what he's due to do on Wednesday. He's not going to make it, is he?
Well, he's meant to be doing a press conference as part of the US-led Ukraine Defense Contact Group. Though, as you say, it doesn't seem likely now since he's in hospital, as we know, was hospitalized over the weekend. He's obviously now transferred his duties to the deputy, that is Kathleen Hicks, whilst he's in hospital. So I'm assuming she's going to take over this press conference. Kathleen Hicks, of course, who was Obama's deputy undersecretary for defense. So perhaps she will do it instead.
We don't know much more about. I mean, if she was in the Obama regime, clearly the destruction of Africa's richest per capita country, that's what she was responsible for. She should be in The Hague too, should she? Yeah. So she might be meeting with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General C.Q. Brown Jr. I don't even know what the Q stands for the most powerful military officer in the United States. And they're going to meet with what? Zelensky person.
Well, meanwhile, though, I assume they'll be meeting up with Jens Stoltenberg, who are on the same day is holding the NATO chief, of course, is holding a pre-ministerial press conference in Brussels, ahead of the NATO defense ministers meeting on Thursday. Stoltenberg, who over the weekend said, Russia is gearing its entire economy towards war. We have to do more for our security. We have to prepare ourselves for a confrontation that could last decades. That's what Stoltenberg is saying at the moment. So it just seems like on this Valentine's Day afternoon, it'll be war, war, and more war.
Except there's hope. There's hope, not from the Kraft Heinz food company that reports results, which, of course, will play a part in meals made by men, maybe for women on Valentine's Day. It'll be the amazing elections in the most populous Muslim states in the world. Indonesia, the largest archipelago in the world, infamous for the CIA-sponsored mass killing of 1 million men, women, and children with the overthrow of Sukarno, the great hope of the non-aligned movement of the world. There's going to be the largest one-day general election event in history. Joko Widodo, very popular in Indonesia, my understanding. Communist Party are banned still, so they can't. It was once the largest communist party in the world, I think. Lots of interference, election interference by the United States in the run-up to Wednesday's election, CIA interference, a National Endowment for Democracy is there. They're going to try and swing the election to a pro Washington person in Jakarta to try and keep this war on with China. But I don't think they're going to succeed. I think maybe one of a Joko supporter might well get in. But, you know, it must take a long time to count up 190 million, 200 million votes in a huge archipelago from Bali to Java and beyond.
Well, also an election, though, that I doubt that will be making any headlines in mainstream media, despite being an important one. Indonesia, not one that you hear about much.
Except for holidays in Bali. That's it.
Of course. Well, Thursday, then. Now, as well as the NATO defense ministers meeting kicking off on Thursday, it's also the day the New York-based Committee to Protect Journalists organization is releasing its...
They haven't protected me. Have they protected you, Millie?
I don't feel...
They don't protect us, do they?
Well, having said that, we're better than many, Afshin, because they are releasing their latest annual report, which will list all the journalists around the world who have been killed in the last year.
Yeah, but can I just say, they are relatively good on Palestine, but they do not protect journalists. They are, even though they will say good things about the genocide in Gaza in terms of those brave journalists, scores of them murdered by British, American, European Union weaponry, not that the Committee for Protect Journalists will mention who killed, with what implements these journalists were killed. They do nothing about the McCarthyite situation in NATO countries, about Western Europe. The Committee to Protect Journalists, quoted on Radio Liberty only a few days ago, is saying, we must protect Western Europe from misinformation. What's their definition of misinformation? Real journalism that exposes the truth about Washington's neocon wars all around the world.
Well, at the very least, they're exposing the deaths of the journalists and the dangers posed. I mean, it feels like such a dangerous time to be a journalist, Afshin. I mean, would you recommend it to anyone?
I'd always recommend it to everyone. But again, CPJ will say nothing about Tucker Carlson, who's now on a kill list. The Ukrainian kill list, which people can access on the web, which is directly on CIA servers. Someone did a search on which computers the kill list is using. So Tucker Carlson, an American citizen, his name and picture are up on the kill list on American servers. And of course, Gonzalo Lira was previously on it and he was killed in the past few weeks.
Yeah, I don't know if it's quite true that he is on a kill list, though, Afshin, is it?
Yeah, no. I'll show you the picture if you want. He's appeared on it since the interview.
There is a picture, but I think there's dispute whether it's an actual kill list. His picture.
It is. They put a cross out. They put a cross out on Gonzalo.
Right, the Miro Trek Center.
Yeah. There's a strange Ukrainian name which I can't pronounce.
Is Miro Tourette, which they say.
Miro Tourette.
Miro Tourette. It's got a TV.
That's a nice thing to say about Zelensky.
But they say Miro Tourette's, the word translates in Ukrainian to peacemaker. And while it's mentioned on the site, they wouldn't say it's a kill list. They say they're an independent non-governmental organization created by a group of scientists, journalists, and specialists in the study of signs of crimes against the national security of Ukraine, peace, the security of mankind, and the international legal order. And it's not a branch of the Ukrainian government.
No, because it's the CIA server. They've done an investigation, and you can see that it's actually on the CIA server that this website is hosted. Sure. So why? I mean, if I suddenly had a website and put journalist names on it and said, this person suspected of, is it suspected or they judge that this person is a war criminal?
Well, not a war criminal, just to have had views against
that's like George Orwell's list where he said Charlie Chaplin should be done by MI6.
An NGO that studies threats to Ukrainian national security, I suppose, in the sense that he has said he hopes Putin wins the war. And I will just correct it by saying that he has been on this list since June 2023. I think some have said it's a result of the interview he did with Putin.
All right. I couldn't find it. I did look it up. Are you on it, Millie?
I don't know. I haven't looked. You tell me.
So no, whenever each time you do the search, you think to yourself, they'll probably store that name and go, why isn't that person on it? But anyway, the idea of websites that are hosted in Langley, Virginia, that are naming people as enemies of the people. I mean, you know, Arthur Miller's The Crucible comes to mind. I know we've got to speed it all up. They'll be talking about Libya, I understand, in the UN Security Council.
Yes, as they often do.
Yeah.
Nothing hugely extraordinary.
And they'll be talking about ISIS, which we now know after the United States and Britain bombed Iraq and Jordan's border. No, that was a Syria-Jordan border. And, I mean, to all intents and purposes, the United States and Britain are protecting ISIS because that illegally occupied area of Syria is an ISIS training camp. Although every day we hear in the newspapers in NATO countries, they are there to fight ISIS. Literally the other way around. Truly Orwellian. Opposite speak.
Okay. Well, on that note, we'll move on to Friday. As you said, we've got to move on. So kicking off on Friday then is the Munich Security Conference. It's been held annually in Germany since 1963. And it's a conference on international security policy, as we know. And as many will also know, the motto, Afshin, is peace through dialogue. Now, I'll just tell you the people who are due to speak at this conference. And that's US Vice President Kamala Harris, along with Antony Blinken, Olaf Scholz, Jordan's King Abdullah, Ursula von der Leyen, Stoltenberg again, and UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Is Guterres going to be safe around all those people? Guterres keeps talking about the need to stop the UK-US-EU armed genocide in Gaza. Guterres is going to be surrounded by people who are arming what he wants to stop.
Well, so peace through dialogue then, Afshin. Do you think that's going to be the motto this year?
I shouldn't be laughing. It's a terrible situation. Tens of thousands of women and children and civilian men and mass murdered. It is just it's just a terrible time to see as NATO sponsors in real time this kind of situation. And, of course, they'll be bombing Yemen by Friday again, the poorest country in the Arab world, which has been showing solidarity with the people of Palestine. And I notice it's Swiss Re, the big reinsurance company based in Zurich. They'll be reporting results. Insurance markets, I don't know, maybe it means more money for insurance markets because there's no way that anyone can ship things around the Red Sea while Britain and the United States are bombing areas of the poorest country in the Arab world. Again, they're not even really covering that, let alone the bombs in Syria and Lebanon that are falling thanks to Washington, London, and Brussels.
Well, this all meanwhile, Afshin, elsewhere in Western Europe, on Friday is the start of London Fashion Week, which almost feels like the antithesis of the Munich conference and these other things going on that you've said.
Not necessarily. You're just against it all. What, Yves Saint Laurent, famously against the Vietnam War? If he was alive today, I think he'd be very different to the Saint Laurent fashion house as it is today in terms of its opposition to what's happening in Gaza and the rest of it as regards Ukraine. There was a time, Vivienne Westwood, of course, who you've met quite a few times, the great fashion designer, Catherine Hamnett from Britain and Vivienne Westwood. There was a time when artists, writers, fashion designers were very vocal explaining why the Palestinians should not be mass murdered in their tens of thousands, explaining why this Cold War rhetoric and neocon behavior by Washington must be prevented at all costs. Where is it now? I think they have to sign NDAs to become an artist, composer, musician, sports star, television presenter, fashion designer.
To not speak out on politics.
Yeah, they're not allowed. No. Because that's the McCarthyite totalitarianism in Western Europe, I think. And if I know we got to hurry. Saturday, this is the most shocking thing. The EU Digital Services Act comes into force, which could mean this is banned too. Our little forecast news of the events coming.
Why don't you just explain a bit what that is to people who don't know?
Yeah, I knew you'd do that. Normally I say that to you. My understanding is that if you say anything that isn't agreed by the powers that be in Western Europe and it's distributed digitally, they have the right, authorities across the European Union, to ban you. And the service providers that actually facilitate in any way, presumably for me, the makers of this shirt or something, they can be fined for somehow facilitating misinformation. Misinformation is a sort of fake word, isn't it? Because it can be used by anyone. Misinformation is a word used by those who are against freedom. And given freedom is the only thing we have, if we're going to call ourselves democracies, if we're going to call ourselves civilized, if we're going to be calling ourselves in any way to do with progress of the human species.
Yeah, well, I think there's a fine line, isn't there? There's black and white issues, which I think we can all agree.
Well, if you say they're Nazis in Ukraine, if you say they're Nazis in Ukraine, despite all the evidence of all the photographs and all the rest of it, you can be presumably stopped from saying that. And anyone who facilitates you being able to say that, whether it be internet companies and whatever, can do that. If you presumably say the Palestinians have a right of return, who knows? You could be accused of anti-Semitic, perhaps, because some of those pro-Israel groups leverage anti-Semitism and leverage the horrors of the Holocaust to enable the mass killing of tens of thousands of women and children, men, women and children in Gaza. It's a terrible situation in the European Union. But then again, Britain won't be subject to it because it left the European Union.
That's right. Well, away from the drama in Western Europe, clearly, is the African Union Leaders Summit, which is also on Saturday, where peace, development and integration are top of the agenda. Leaders of the world's poorest continent, as we know. I don't think mainstream media will really be following this either, Afshin.
Probably that was not. My little police sound. Those African leaders are policed so clearly by IMF agents, World Bank agents, bribing one off the other. All sorts of machinations will be on at the Addis Ababa summit this week. It'll be ferocious. There will be, as has been before, threats of assassination delivered thinly veiled by Washington and European powers. Thinly veiled because African countries are supposed to do what they're told by NATO countries, but they haven't been. They haven't been as regards South Africa's bringing of the genocide case against NATO-backed Israel. They haven't been as far as Burkina Faso, where the great leader who was assassinated previously, his legacy is rising again. We see it again and again in Africa that things may not be the same. And even Egypt, Sisi saying that if Israel moves these million people in Gaza towards Egypt. It's the end of the Camp David Accord signed in 1973. The whole continent of Africa is up in arms about what Washington, London, the European powers are doing as regards Gaza. But not only that, about neoliberalism, about debt, about French imperialism in West Africa.
Yeah. Well, Sisi, there you mentioned the Mexican president, right?
Sisi, well-known Mexican
president.
Amazing how the Sunday talk shows in the United States just brushed that off and instead started talking about how Trump actually is not as on it as he was last time round. The bias, the absolute propaganda against Trump in the United States, for whatever you, whether you like him or not, the idea of trying to be fair in the news is obviously.
But they have also been talking about Biden's blunders at the same time.
Not on MSNBC, your favorite station. No, I know you don't. No one actually, in fairness, watches MSNBC and CNN. So actually, maybe I'm going too far. No, Fox News is head and shoulders above that. And of course, Sky News, owned by the same people as CNN, is it? Which one? I get them so confused now. Comcast. NBC Universal. It's just like, what, six companies, 10 families. They own the media in NATO nation countries. It's just can't be taken seriously.
Well, anyway, I just got to finish on the final story, Afshin. Now, Sunday this is, and I hate to say it because I know you'll have a thing or two to say on this one, but Sunday will be 10 years to the day since the start of the Maidan Revolution, as it's called in Western Europe, or the Maidan Coup, as Afshin Ratanzi would call it. Why don't you just explain, Afshin, what your perspective is?
I would have played the phone call if you'd told me you were going to do this. Where is that famous phone call? People can look it up on Pentagon Contractor Google's YouTube. Look up Victoria Nuland Ukraine phone call, and you can hear the Assistant Secretary of State of the United States under which president? Obama. But of course, she's now in the Biden regime as part of the State Department now. You can hear her chatting with Piotr, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, I think, chatting about who should lead Ukraine after the great coup that and I think the ambassador says, well, what about this guy? And Victoria Nuland says, we can't use the profanity, I suppose, on our family friendly little channel. But basically, Victoria Nuland swears about the European Union because it must have no right as to who chooses who runs Ukraine. It was that that presaged the Ukrainian people voting for what they thought was the peace candidate, a comedian, Vladimir Zelensky, who, of course, then went on to become arguably, and what has been alleged as one of the worst of the United States historical proxy war criminal leaders that they puppets that has ever been.
Okay. Well, I would refute some of that, but we are.
Go ahead.
We're out of time, but hopefully that's given you a good indication of what to look out for this week. But thank you for listening to Forecast News, and we'll be back next Monday.
Or will it be the following Monday after next Monday?
Potentially. We'll see. Remains to be seen.
And get well soon to Raytheon's Lloyd Austin, I guess we better wish him.
Hope he gets better. Thank you, Z. Bye. See you soon.